Welcome to the FaithBridge 2026 Lent Podcast. I'm Anna Cowper-Smith, and I'm here with Michael Rafferty. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Time has flown by, and we are in week 5 of our Walking with Jesus sermon series. As a reminder, we're also partnering with the Houston Church Planters Network in the Light Up the City initiative by prayer walking across our city throughout this Lenten season. We hope that you've been prayer walking and leaning on the Lord throughout the season. If you're looking for last week's sermon, you can find it just one episode back. Today, we'll be guiding you through a time of prayer, whether you're walking right now or preparing your heart for prayer.
Joining us today is Michael McDowell. He is our Director of Young Adults and Residency and is going to begin by sharing a devotional that recaps this past Sunday's sermon and prepares our hearts for today's prayer walk. We'll be following the WALK walk framework: worship, ask, listen, know. As Psalm 46:10 reminds us, be still and know that I am God. Michael, take it away.
I've been thinking a lot recently about limits and how a lot of my life has been spent trying to outrun the limits God has placed on me. Sometimes that has literally been true. When I was in seminary, I had completed my 4th marathon and was ready to try something a little longer. I was in shape, I was fast, my body was well conditioned. How hard could it be? Well, my training involved a lot more mileage to start, and as I hammered away day after day, my left knee got sorer and sorer. But I pushed through. And one day in the middle of an 18-mile trail run, I felt like someone was stabbing a hot fork into the side of that knee, and I had to give up running for months, all because I was unwilling to accept that my body was hitting a limit that required slowing down. One of the fundamental lies that sin whispers to us is that any limits imposed upon us can and should be broken. This was the message the serpent gave to Adam and Eve in the garden. Of course you should know the difference between good and evil. Eat the fruit. And that is still what sin does today. It encourages us to blow past God-given limits on sex, consumption, food, accumulation, hatred, anger, work, and rest. But sin is more pernicious than that, because it convinces us that even if we had a little bit of power, a little bit of authority, then we really could remove some limits on ourselves and impose them on others. For some of us, the desire to climb the ladder and advance has more to do with the hope that we can one day attain a position that allows us to be the boss, to remove limits on ourselves, our time, our work, our behavior, and impose those limits on others so that our limitlessness is accommodated. That's what people in power are supposed to do, right? If I'm being honest, much of my ambition is connected to this lie of limitlessness. But this is not the picture of power or authority that the Bible offers to the Christian. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul describes the life of the apostle, the zenith of Christian authority, to the unruly, ambitious, and quarrelsome Corinthian church like this. For I think that God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are held in honor, but we in disrepute. To the present hour we hunger and thirst, we are poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless, and we labor, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and are still like the scum of the world, the refuse of all things. And he then goes on to urge the Corinthians to imitate him in that way. In other words, Christianity inverts the authority structure that the world models. Rather than pursue limitlessness and impose limits on others, the Christian leader takes limits onto himself or herself so that those that they lead can serve and live a freer life. What might this look like for you? As a husband leading my wife, I felt God prompting me to take some of her responsibilities around the house because she's busy at work and she needs more time to rest. As a leader, I felt God calling me to make myself and my time more available to my people so that they can be nourished through our prayers and conversations. What about you? As a father or a mother? As a husband or a wife? As a supervisor or a rising star? How might God be calling you to take limits onto yourself so that others may live with fewer burdens? What Paul is describing, of course, is exactly what Jesus did. He did not excuse himself from this, but modeled this inversion of authority by leaving heaven and taking on the limits of human flesh, and then taking on the ultimate limit of death. And even now, though he reigns, he still has the limits of responsibility, for even in his resurrected glory, he spends his time advocating for you and for me before the Father, so that we would not experience the limit of ultimate death. May we invert authority in our lives so that people can experience the love of Jesus through us.
Thank you so much for that strong word, Michael. Encouraging and challenging at the same time. And with that, we now enter the first step of our walk by worshiping. This is a song we sang together on Sunday. And wherever you are, we invite you to sing along or simply allow the truth of these words to fill you.
Your kingdom is simple as love. You welcome the children. You stop for the one. We want to see people the way Jesus does. Your kingdom is simple. Lord, teach it to us. Your kingdom is humble as death. This king is a savior who gave his last breath. So may we die daily, our pride to rest. His kingdom is humble, and the broken are blessed. Alleluia, hallowed be your name. May we
the ask portion of our prayer. Today, we'll be praying for three areas: personal renewal, our communities, our families, neighbors, and coworkers, and our city. First, let's pray for personal renewal. Ask God to renew your heart in humility, leaving behind any desire to appear wise intelligent, or impressive to others. Now let's pray for our community. Ask God to revive your church as ministers of the new covenant, proclaiming sufficiency of Jesus to a self-reliant world. Finally, let's pray for our city. Ask God to awaken your neighborhood and people across the city to the freedom found in resting in Christ's strength rather than human strength. Amen.
Now we enter a time of listening. Prayer is a dialogue. We want to make space for God to speak. Ask Him now to speak to your heart through scripture, a prompting, or a burden for someone in your life. Let's pray together. Father, we come into stillness before you just as Jesus did. Your word says that your sheep hear your voice. You are the good shepherd. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Thank you, Lord, for meeting us in this quiet moment. We love you and we thank you for speaking to us. To conclude our time of listening, we'll now pray an ancient prayer, one that believers have prayed for generations. Lent reminds us that we are part of a long heritage of faithful Christians who have walked with Jesus before us. This is the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Lord, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in forgiving that one is forgiven. And it is in dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen.
And finally, we come to know, to be still and remember that God truly is God. We'll close with these words from 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." Amen. May it be so in our lives, Lord. Thank you so much for joining us on this walk journey today. Our next Lent podcast episode will be our final episode, and it will release next Wednesday morning. In the meantime, we look forward to worshiping with you this Sunday. And we encourage you to continue prayer walking, as we light up the city this Lenten season. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you as you go about your day. Thanks for listening.